All right, so we will be picking it up today in Leviticus chapter 23, and we're going to start in verse 23, and my title today is, What's New in 2022? And once I got that message in my mind and realized it kind of rhymed, I couldn't really go away from that title. So what's new in 2022? We're going to look at, and my title, our first point is that consider what will be different about you in 2022. We'll see here, starting out with Leviticus, and we'll jump over to Matthew chapter 6 for the bulk of it. But we'll see really what is amounts to really a prescription that the Lord leaves us for New Year's. You know, it's interesting that God doesn't tell us to celebrate Christmas, but what we do, and for good reason. I'm glad we do. It's a blessing to be able to do that. But he does give us an outline, right? He gives his people an outline for New Year's. And we see that here in Leviticus chapter 23, right? And we pick it up in verse 23. Let me make sure that this is working right here. Nope, I think it got. There we go. I know I have some people jumping online today, so something's not connecting. Let me just see if it's connected to the internet. I'm trying to have googly eyes this time, right? Well, I don't know what to say here. Sorry about this. I don't think so. Okay. Sorry about that. All right. Well, okay, back to where we were, right? Leviticus chapter 23. Sorry about the technical difficulties. Leviticus chapter 23, and as I mentioned in verse 23, a message that I've titled today, What's New in 2022? And we see here, starting in verse 23, just a glimpse of what you might call a prescription for the new year for God's people. Pick it up in verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, In the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And so this is really, as I mentioned, a prescription for the new year for God's people. God gave his people really two different, what you might call, new years. One is the Passover, a spiritual new year, and then a civil new year as well. And so the Passover, of course, is they remember when the angel of death passed over God's people who had put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, right? And so that's sort of the spiritual new year. And then they have Rosh Hashanah, right? The head of, literally means the head of the year, a civil new year. And that's kind of similar to what we celebrate in our culture here today, the starting, you know, or rather coming up here on Saturday, the starting of a new calendar year, the head of the year. It was also known as the Feast of Trumpets, and it was the first of or the last three of seven feasts that the Lord outlines here. The Feast of Trumpets, and then the next two follow quickly, the Day of Atonement, where the sins of the nation are passed to a goat and out in the wilderness, picturing the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the final of the three, the Feast of Tabernacles, all of this in the same month. And according to the Mishnah, right, which is the Jewish interpretation of the Old Testament, this Feast of Trumpets is a picture of the Day of Judgment. And many Jews believe that the world, in fact, was created at Rosh Hashanah, around the time of Rosh Hashanah. And as a result, believe that as this celebration came up, that in their mind, this would be a time when God perhaps would judge the world, right? So their new year, right, as this new year comes, their new year would be a time where they have the end in mind, right? It would be a time of introspection. It would be a time of inflection, you know, reflecting on their interaction, their relationship with the Lord, reflecting on their life. And as they head into the Rosh Hashanah, the head of a new year, it would be a time of reflection. Very different, right, than what we'll see on TV. Well, I guess in the COVID world, it's a little bit different of a celebration, right, rather than the mass crowds and stuff. But really, in our culture, it's largely sort of a party time, right, for a lot of folks. But Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, was a time where they would be introspective. They would be thinking about the Lord and about their relationship with the Lord. And a time of repentance, a time of commitment to the Lord, identifying opportunities for growth, opportunities, maybe areas of their life that they need to repent. And it would be something that is much different, as I mentioned, than what we see in our culture. And I think that's good, right? A lot of places in a lot of folks, you know, we don't really, I mean, if we're honest, we don't like to be told what to do, right? We don't like to be corrected in our flesh, in and of ourselves. I mean, that takes humility. That takes a level of, you know, acknowledging that I'm, although, you know, thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not quite what I'm going to be someday. And so there's opportunity for growth. And this time, this head of the year that God laid out for them to celebrate was a time of this reflection. And although that kind of introspection, right, that kind of evaluation of our relationship with the Lord, although it's great for us, it might not be something that we really like as we see, all right, you know, there's something I need to deal with or something I need to change, maybe sin that I need to repent of or spiritual commitments or spiritual disciplines that I need to recommit to or re-engage in. And although maybe it's something that we don't want to be reminded of, or at least if we do, we want it to be on our time, right? That's not really convenient right now for me to consider X, right? Or to think about changing this, it would be a challenge. I believe that's part of the reason that God wanted it on the calendar of his people, right? As an opportunity, and, you know, as we talked about, I think last week in John chapter 7, right, where Jesus went in, you know, during the time of, at the end of the Feast of Booths, and another time when they would be very pensive, again, thinking about the coming of the Messiah. And he cries out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me," right? A time where on their minds would have been the coming of the Messiah. Similarly here, God wants this evaluation. God forces this into their calendar, maybe not because they wanted it, but because it was good for them, right? And it's good for us. It's good for us to have a time like that where we evaluate. Also a good, as we read here, right, that on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, you know. It's also a good time to, you know, have some downtime. That reflection time, that downtime, you know, it's easy in our day-to-day schedule to kind of okay, I'm going to fit in my quiet time, or I'm going to fit in, you know, a few moments of prayer or a few moments in the Word. And if that's what you have, take it, right? And that's great. I've heard somebody say one time, if all you can give the Lord is 5 minutes to pray and to read, do it. Because the reality is you're going to find you want more, right? Take that 5 minutes, though, right? If that's not your habit, if it hasn't been your habit, start. And you'll fill that 5 minutes, and then you'll want 10, and you might want more, right? But don't, because you don't have, you know, I don't have an hour and a half, Lord. Start somewhere, right? Let that be something that if that hasn't been your habit, to sit down and spend some time daily with the Lord to do that. And so recommit to that. You know, it's in that, I think, there's a blessing when it's not a hurried time, right? He says a day of a Sabbath rest, a time where, you know, and maybe in your life, maybe it's not a whole hour, right? But take some time to sit before the Lord daily and love on Him and let Him love on you and, enjoy that. Someone said, right, that a life lived for God makes the deepest impression on people. You know, as we head into 2022 and we see a time that continues to be a challenging time in our nation, a confusing time. And, you know, man, just when we think that, okay, COVID's in the rearview mirror and all of a sudden it's ramped up, you know, and kind of before us again, and at least in the media and such. And we see, I can't help but think back to the beginning of 2021 when we thought the turning over the a lot of folks were talking about the turning over of the year and it's going to be great and everything's going to be all right, and we are all right, right? In the Lord, we're fine and we're safe where we need to be, but to pause, say, Lord, what is it that you want for me in 2022? What should I be doing differently? Lord, is there something I should change? And then to go for it, right? As I mentioned, a life lived for the Lord makes the deepest impression on other people. Because as we continue really in this time, right, we know that what people need is to find that rest and to find that peace in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we are living lives before them, that can be impactful. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 that I'm crucified with Christ, right? It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So as I put off my old self and I put on my new self, living that life, David said, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, and that is I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the present, the idea there in the presence of the Lord, let that relationship with the Lord be top priority. So our first point, right, what's new in 2022? Consider before the Lord, what will be different about you? What is it that you want to be? Maybe you feel like, you know what, this has been a New Year's resolution so many times. Well, don't make it a New Year's resolution. Make it a recommitment in your relationship with the Lord. Right, Billy Graham said, nobody can go back and make a new start, but anyone can start now and make a new end. Right, and so as we have this sort of unique time on our calendar, right, like God put on the Jewish people's calendar, as we have sort of this unique time where it's before us, even in the media, you know, we flip over, about to get a new calendar, which, by the way, we have new church calendars here. We'll get them out for everybody. As we literally turn over a new calendar, let that be a time, as God outlines here, of reflection for you, not just, you know, oh, cool, another day off from work, right? That's always great. That's always nice and a blessing. But not just about, you know, that, but what is it, Lord, that you would have for me? Consider what will be different about you in 2022. Now jump with me over to Matthew chapter 6, right? We see that God had orchestrated there in Leviticus Matthew chapter 25, a time of reflection at the head of the year for his people to get before him, be reflective, be pensive, be introspective and say, God, I want more of you this year than ever before. God, I want to be more of the man or the woman of God that you've called me to be. And that he had that on the calendar. Then jump over here in Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 6 in verse 25. I've got you guys jumping all over the place, don't I? A little Bible surfing, that's what that's called. I was never very good at real surfing. I moved to Southern California too late in my life. I tried. The first time I surfed, I ran into somebody, so didn't really. Bible surfing, though, is something I've come to enjoy. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. As you consider what God might have differently for you in 2022, so often we go to what's wrong with me, right? Because if it's something we need to change, that can be our mindset. And then when we go to, well, I'm doing this wrong, then we can go to, oh, I really failed the Lord, you know? And then we can just go down a hole, right? We can really just start beating ourselves up. And that's kind of our nature, right? And for some of us, right, it can be more of a challenge than for others, where God shows us something, right? We ask him, Lord, I want to be more yours in 2022 than I ever have before. And he shows you, maybe it's becoming a man or a woman of prayer. And it's easy to start going, man, I've really blown it. I've really failed. I think as we approach this kind of conversation, it's good, and this is our second point, don't forget that God loves you deeply, right? He's not here to, he didn't come to beat us up, to tear us down, to make us feel guilty. Don't forget God loves you deeply, really beyond what we can understand, and that he is for you. So as God reveals things to us, as we ask him, and he's faithful to answer, don't approach it from a mindset that I've blown it, or that God's mad at me. No, God loves you, right? God wants what is best for you. And because you're his child, right, he'll reveal these things to us, but it's not from a standpoint of, you know, I failed, but from a standpoint of I'm growing, right? You know, when a child goes from crawling to walking, or from throwing their food on the floor to not throwing their food on the floor, right? You don't beat them up because they used to throw their food on the floor or they used to crawl. That's what happens as you grow, right? And as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we see things that, like, I can't believe that I used to do that. I mean, am I being honest? Right? Yeah. Right? But it's not that I blew it. It's that I'm growing. And so it's actually a good thing, right? So here in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 25... See, I said it the same twice, right? So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, we pick this up really in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, right? Just a great message. Starts back in chapter 5. And right before verse 25, Jesus is exhorting the people to really live for the Lord, right? Giving them some specific examples, you know, encouraging them as he, I believe, encourages us today to put him first, make him Lord, right, of all. And then he gives some very practical steps. And in verse 25, he says, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And not that he's saying, you know, don't do your best to look nice, you know. It's not uncommon for me to say, you know, Becky, does this match? You know, that's not being, you know, vain or whatever, right? It's just you want to not look like a dork. I guess. I don't know, whatever, right? But so it's not saying that those things aren't, you know, don't ever think about that. He's saying, don't worry about that. right? Worry really sucks the life out of us. He's giving examples of things that consume so much of people's time and attention. He's saying, don't worry about those things. Don't let those things consume you, right? Right? Things that much of the world spends much of their energy on, right? And he says there at the end of verse 25, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And then he goes and gives the example of how much he cares for even the birds of the air. Right? He says, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow nor reap, or they don't gather into barns, yet God feeds them. God provides for them. And God's going to provide for you. And then he asks a rhetorical question, right? Are you not of more value than they? And the answer, of course, is yes. Yes. Way more. Substantially more. Right? Which of you, verse 27, by worrying can add one cubit to a stature? We might say an inch to your height. Right? How many of you can get an inch taller by worrying that you think you're too short? Or whatever. You can't. So he's saying, don't worry about those things. Why do you worry, verse 28, about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Right? Lilies just grow beautifully. He says, yet I say to you, even Solomon, right, who had everything, the wisest and the richest man to ever walk the face of the earth, even more than Elon Musk, right? Right. And all of his money. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. In other words, Solomon, who had more money, right? All the time, all the fame, all the ability to do whatever he wanted. He says, even Solomon, right, wasn't as arrayed like one of these flowers. That the flowers don't toil nor spin, right? They're not striving. They're not worrying over these things. They're just growing, right? Like we can just grow in our relationship with the Lord. Don't worry. Maybe that's a good word for some of us today. Don't worry. Anybody, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, right? But because I know, right? I know a lot of us, we can be get so worried about different things, and God says, don't worry. Don't forget that he's for you, right? He loves you. Jump with me real quick over to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this, right, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. What's God getting at there? How much he loves us. How much he loves you. That he is for you, right? So as we approach the head of the year, right, the beginning of the year, another year of our life, right, birthdays can be another good reminder too, right? But as we approach this new year, and as we're reflecting on, Lord, how do you want me to grow in 2022? Approach it from the standpoint of how much God loves you and how much God is for you, crazy about you. Right, not from a standpoint of, man, I feel like I failed the Lord. You know, Zechariah chapter 2 says that you are the apple of his eye. You ever thought about that? The apple of God's eye. That's pretty special. Jump with me again. I mentioned Bible surfing. We're doing a little Bible surfing, but there's just some cool stuff. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this. Our point, remember, is don't forget that God loves you deeply. as we head into this new year and as we consider the things that God might want us to grow in. Check this out. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us when we are really good like Santa Claus." No, it doesn't say that, does it? "Who has blessed us when we pray every single day." No. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Let that sink in for a minute. I don't know about you, but that's a lot of spiritual blessings, right? All of the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. That's what God has blessed you with. And how, which is what I'm getting to, right? "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Why does he bless us? Why has he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in every place? Because he loves you. Because he loves us. Right, having predestined the people get all wrapped up and hung up on these things, right? God predestined, right? He chose us, but God chose us from a standpoint of knowing that who we were going to choose him. Right? The Bible says that God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Right? So as we live our life, we come to that place where we realize that we've fallen short. We realize that we've sinned and that we need to be saved. And we learn, right? We see that the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself, came down in the person of Christ and he paid the price for our sin so that we can be reconciled to him. And we receive that by faith. And God, who is outside of time and he knows those who are going to receive him, understandably chooses those who will receive him, right? And so don't get hung up on that. Get hung up on his love for you, right? How much he loves you, right? That he is for you, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to what? According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us made us accepted in the beloved. God did that because he loves you. Because he is for you. And then lastly, verse 7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." Right? And I could go on. Right? Well, one more verse. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 3. Well, one more verse for now. Romans chapter 3. The point we're getting at here, right, is how incredibly much God loves you as you head into a new year. And as we are being encouraged to consider what does God want to do differently. Romans chapter 3, pick it up in verse 21. "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." So, right, this is the righteousness of God that is from God, that is in the Lord, right? It's not our doing, right? We receive this by faith. This is perfect righteousness, right? "The righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe." Just take a breath. That's the righteousness that God gives you because of your faith in him. And it changes everything. It's not a works-based thing, right? We love to work hard and do our best, right, to serve the Lord. But we're not more pleasing to God because of it. And we're not less pleasing to God on other days, right? God is pleased with you because of your faith, your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So it changes everything, right, as I understand areas that perhaps I need to grow in, that it's not that God is disappointed in me, it's that he loves me, and he's showing me things that I need to know, and I can walk forward in his arms, right? Surrounded by his love. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Anyways, we could spend a lot more time, right, reflecting on the love that God has for you. So as you approach this, don't do it from a standpoint of, you know, God is mad at me, or I failed the Lord, or any of those things. Approach it from the standpoint of how passionate God is for you. I find it interesting in 1 Chronicles chapter 20, right, as really the history of the nation is being read through there, right? In chapter 20, you pick it up, you know, you go from 19 to 20, and there's a couple years missing, right? And actually, between the first two verses, I should say, of 1 Chronicles chapter 20. You read about where all the kings went out to war, but David stayed back. Sound familiar, right? We know what happened during that time frame, right? The whole story of David and Bathsheba. But verse 2, as the history is being retold in Chronicles, verse 2 just goes on to after that. That whole situation with Bathsheba in that telling is wiped clean. Forgotten, you could say. Missing. A beautiful picture, right, of God's forgiveness simply erased. Because David had, right through that, through 1 Samuel chapter 11 and 12, right, which would have kind of transpired between verses 1 and 2 of 1 Chronicles chapter 20. It's just not there. Not even referenced to. Why? It's a beautiful picture of what God does for us when we acknowledge our sin and come to him. Wipes the slate clean. Not even mentioned there. It's beautiful because of the forgiveness. So don't forget that God loves you deeply. I found this little illustration. I thought it was pretty cool. Speaking of what Jesus does for you and for me. You know, so often when you know, you talk about Jesus, people will bring up other religions or other, you know, roads they believe lead to the Lord. And I found this kind of interesting in terms of how Jesus deals with our sin, right, versus what other philosophies or religions might do. So a man was walking along and he fell into a pit. All right, so you fall into a pit, and that's not a good day, especially if it's deeper than you are tall and, you know, you don't have a way to get out. So this illustration says, so a Christian scientist come along and says, well, you only think that you're in a pit. That's not really dealing with the fact that you're in a pit, right? Oh, no, you just think that you're in a pit. A Pharisee comes along and says, well, you know what? Only bad people fall into pits. In other words, you deserved it, right? You deserve the bad day because you're bad. A legalist says you deserve your pit. Confucius said, if you had listened to me, you would not have fallen into that pit. Buddha says your pit is only a state of mind. Think about that for the first 2 months in the pit, right? A realist says, yep, that's a pit. Nobody's really helping, right? An evolutionist says, you are a rejected mutant destined to be removed from the evolutionary cycle. In other words, he's going to die in the pit, so that cannot produce any pit-falling offspring. A health and wealth preacher says, just confess that you're not in the pit. I just pretend like you're not in the pit. An Islamist imam says, it is the will of Allah for you to be in the pit. But Jesus, right, seeing the person in the pit, takes him by the hand and lifts him out. I love that. I love that. The reality that we fall into pits. Sometimes they're pits we dug, maybe. And we create challenges ourselves. Jesus doesn't mock us. He helps us out. He came so that we could be helped out of that pit. Jump with me over to Romans chapter 8. Sorry, that was the last verse on the other side of my notes. So This is the last verse in this section, then we'll move on. Romans chapter 8, because this is really, this kind of brings it home, right? You know where I'm going. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. So in all these things, we are more than conquerors, what, through him who loved us. And listen to this list, right, of the things that we know at the end are, he's going to say, none of these things can separate us from the love of God. Right? And all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. You get the idea, this is pretty exhaustive, right? Nor height, nor depth. And I love it, just in case you can think of something that's left out. Nor any other created thing, right? There's nothing is the idea that shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how much God loves you. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So as we continue back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Here's the key, right? And all these things shall be added to you. Again, verse 31, that reminder, right, not to worry. Worry literally chokes the life out of us. And God says, just do this. Seek me first. Put me first. Right? Whatever it is, as you go forward, put him first. Don't focus on the past. Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on towards the things which are ahead. Right? We can get so caught up in what's behind us. And that can be good stuff and bad stuff, by the way. The bad, boy, it's not easy to go down that road, is it? All the things we haven't done well. Or we can get pretty hung up, like, who's that, Uncle Rico? You know, on living in, you know, what could have been. Or the things that were really good. You know, hey, you know, I was all that in high school. Well, for some of us, that's pretty far in the rearview mirror. You know what I mean? And so, forget those things. We'll press on towards those things which are ahead. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things, right? Sufficient for today is its own trouble. Just focus on what God has for you. So our third point or principle here is remove what you can, or to the best of your ability, the things that prevent you from God, following God's plan for you, right? These are things, worry is one, right? It chokes out life. Getting super focused on, you know, maybe it's not clothes or food for you. Maybe it's some other thing that you tend to put before the Lord, right? And those things aren't bad in and of themselves. Just make sure God is first, is what he's saying here, right? And this stuff, as you could see, right, has nothing to do with, you know, our status or our position or our money or our lack of money or health or giftedness. It just has to do with being obedient to the Lord. Right? Seek first, put first God's kingdom and his righteousness. That's cool in two ways, right? There's an element of doing what is right in God's sight, right? God's righteousness, doing what is right. But then realizing as a Christian, you already possess his righteousness, right? So that changes the conversation when you realize, man, that's how we walk forward more than conquerors. Right, because we already possess the victory, we already have victory. You still got to walk through the battles, but you walk through victorious. And so we possess that right in him, and we just walk forward in simple obedience to what he wants, seeking him first. I'm blessed, right, as I look around and as you know, we interact throughout the year, realizing that we're among brothers and sisters who this is a priority, right? We want to honor the Lord. We want to do what is right in God's sight. And we're here to pray for one another and hold each other up. You know, and as I mentioned, the prayer ministry, you know, that I hope everybody's part of the email chain, cclhprayer@gmail.com. And we'll be meeting the first Monday of every month, starting the week from tomorrow, to pray, right, together over those things. And maybe there's something that God has spoken to you. You know, whatever that is, just take that step. Seek him first, right? Philippians chapter 1 says that he who began the good work in you, and for some of us, maybe that was many years ago, right? For others, maybe more recently, or maybe it's a new work, right? You know, a time of recommitment to the Lord. He who began the work in you is faithful to complete it. You know, and that's comforting. That's his work. We simply get out of the way and allow him to do it. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says that he causes all things to work together for the good. So you look back on 2021, and maybe some of you are going, man, I'm glad it's in the rearview mirror. Or almost, right? You know, but guess what? 2022 is not going to be perfect either, you know? All right, but we get this opportunity to trust the Lord, right, knowing that he does cause all things to work together for the good as we seek him first. And then our last point for that, jump with me over to Proverbs chapter 4. And this is just something I think is super critical for us to always remember. Right, as we consider what's new in 2022, right? And you could take that in many different directions. But at least in light of God's prescription in Leviticus for the head of the year, right? A time of reflection on our lives and a time of introspection and a time of looking forward into the new year, right? Consider what will be different about you in 2022, because there's only one person that controls that, and that's you, right? And your decisions today start that process, and your decisions tomorrow continue that process, right? We have to be engaged in what will be different about us in 2022. Don't forget, right, as you approach that and as you walk in, and when you trip up the first time, because guess what? We're going to, right? Don't forget that God loves you deeply, and he is for you, and he's not giving up on you. You shouldn't give up on yourself. Realize that he is for you. Number three, remove the things that you can that prevent you from following God's plan for you. If something's getting in the way, just get rid of it. And then last but not least, be very, very careful what you think about. Be very careful what you think about. It controls so much of where we go. And you say, Steve, why do you say that? Look in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. And you'll see this progression here, kind of a focus. So pay attention to what God says. Incline your ear. Lean into it, right? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Their life to those who find them, and health to their flesh. Verse 23, here's the key point. Keep your heart with all diligence. Other translations say, guard your heart. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. And right, we think of, in our culture, of our heart is sort of the seat of the emotions. It's in the Hebrew mindset, it's really the seat of the intellect. It's what you think about. It's what you let resonate in your mind. Guard what you let resonate in your mind, because it can destroy you. It's just like on a team, right? A bad attitude on a team can poison a team. It can destroy a team, right? Getting that out of the way is often the best solution, right? Attitudes are hard to change, right? They're good when they change, right? But what we allow into our mind is so impactful. So be careful what you think about, right? As he says here, out of your heart, out of your thinking spring the issues of life. And he says, put away from you all a deceitful mouth. Put perverse lips, perversity on your mouth, far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, be focused on the Lord, and your eyelids right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Don't turn to the right or left, remove your focus. Stay focused is what he's talking about there, right? But the key phrase, three words, don't let it escape your thinking, right? Guard your heart. Be careful what you think about. And you control that, right? Our minds get running, and believe me, I have been there, done that, do that too many times. But guard your heart. I have a friend, a mentor, really, who this is his closing phrase, email, often conversations, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Everybody, guard your heart. And it's a wise thing. So here's the challenge, should you choose to accept it, right? And this is something I challenge myself with from time to time, and I like to remind us around this time of year. What are your goals for 2022 that can only be explained through faith? What are your goals for 2022 that take genuine faith? And a way to sort of back into that is, can a person do what you're doing for the Lord without any faith at all? Right? So this is just stuff to ponder. I don't have the solution for all of us, and I'm pondering it for myself. But what are your goals, or what is a goal for 2022 that challenges you in your faith? And go for it, right? Pray it up. Take the challenge and step out, and God will blow your mind. Next week, we're going to talk a bit about some ways that we can know how we're gifted. Right? That's often kind of a question, is what are my gifts? You know, how am I gifted? And we'll talk a little bit about that as we look at really our vision statement for the church. This, I think, is a good thing to consider in light of God's love for you. Let that be first. Let that be foremost. Don't let that escape from your mind, right? But what does God want to do differently in you? And first and foremost, in your relationship with him, because that's the top priority. Far above anything that you ever do for him is your heart for him, right? He wants your heart. And then as we live that out, what is it? How is it God wants to grow you as an individual in 2022? And then trust him because he loves you and he's for you. And he is able to do, Ephesians chapter 3, exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. I love that because I can imagine a lot, right? And I can ask a lot, right? But God is faithful. Amen? Let's stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for today, Lord. And thank you for the reality that our relationship with you is so critical. And it's important to you. Thank you that our life in you is important to you, God. Thank you that what we ponder, what we think of ourselves, how we see ourselves is important to you. And God, that the reality is that when you look at us, you see us as believers, once we've come to that place of accepting Jesus as our Savior, you see us in him. And of him you say, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. And so God, thank you that as we leave forth from this place, God, really out into serving you, God, that we can do so with the absolute knowledge that you love us and that you are for us and that you truly do cause all things to work together for the good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. God, we may not understand, and many times we don't, but we can rely upon that. God, I do pray for my brothers and sisters here, God, people that are very dear to my heart, Lord. I pray that you would help all of us to guard our heart, Lord, as we walk into 2022. That we would be very mindful of what we allow our mind to dwell on, Lord, and that we would would seek those things that are above, where Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. God, we love you, and we're very grateful for you. God, we're so grateful for the gifts, as we just celebrated yesterday, Lord, sort of a representation of that in many, many ways. But God, above all, we're thankful for you and who you are and all that you are for us and to us, God. And so we commit ourselves to you afresh today, and we give you thanks, Lord, in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you.